time.
Love Talk Radio.
Okay, in dedication. So we lowered.
Out there on radio land and on the internet, I made a mistake and couldn't get into the internet tonight. I owe you an apology because I'm on fire for the Lord. Got news for you. I got Gentile news. I got church news. I got Jew news. So I'm fired up, and I hope I can get put out in the next hour because I only will be on the hour tonight. This is Watchmen on the Wall. And I'm looking and hoping and expecting for the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But at the meantime, I'll be preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he come back. And when he come back, he will come back with a shout, with the voices of archangels. And the dead in Christ shall rise and meet every man alive to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. But I'm here to tell you there's only one way that a man can enter the kingdom of God, and that is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because what he did on Calvary was the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And man is born sinners. Men are born sinners. They are born cut off from God by the rebellion of Satan, deceiving Eve in the Garden of Paradise, the Garden of Eden. And since that time, Satan has been able to intrigue and intercept the main thing of humanity, and that is condemn man to hell because of the sin that he's in. But Jesus Christ, listen to me now. Jesus Christ is the one that can bring man out of sin and save his soul. There is no other name given under heaven whereby than the name of Jesus Christ. Anything else other than Jesus Christ, man will never be able to acquire his own salvation. He'll never be able to save himself. He'll never be able to redeem himself. He'll never be able to justify himself. The only one that can justify you is faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, my God. I hope I can get into this right because I'm a little disturbed with myself letting my time go over, and I couldn't get into the line. So, I only can do an hour tonight. But it's so glad to be with you and those that are out there in the land of the living. I'm here in Glory Land, and I'm coming at the Word of God. For the Word of God is sharp, quick, and then in the two-edged sword. It can cut down to the mouth and the son of man's throat. And I'm here to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, the God that sits in heaven, and I sit low. I have no time. I have no time to play hanky-panky with nobody. I've got to tell you the truth. It may cost me my life, but I got to tell you the truth. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, set you free, and you shall be free indeed. So I'm here to let you know that I'm trying to get to you, let you know what's going on in the world today through the Word of God. Because I don't come out of no other book to tell you what's headed in the future, what's in the past, or what's the present. And then before we get into the Word today, let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for letting me get on before it's too late, Lord, that I can spread your word, that I can lift up your name, that I can give you the glory, and only you give you the glory. No other name given under heaven, no other name given under heaven will be to be saved. The only sacrificial offer that was made and that's acquired and that's able to redeem mankind is Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. God in the flesh. I can't say that enough. God in the flesh. God Almighty, the creator of the heaven and earth, became man. God, man. 100% man. He bought salvation with his own arm. He resurrected himself with his own power. Because he said when he was resurrected, he said, now, Jesus Christ said, now I got all power in heaven and in earth. Before the crucifixion, the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, nobody could be saved. Nobody could be saved. I say that again. Nobody could be saved until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because somebody, good God Almighty, somebody had to pay the penalty for sin. Somebody that was spotless, perfect, sinless, righteous, justice, and full of grace. Somebody that knows something about love. And we know God knows about love because God is love. God is love, nothing but love. Ooh, like I told you before, John 3:16 tells me, for God so loved the world, he loved me so much, he loved you so much, he loved the sinner man, not what the sinner man do, not what the liars say, not what the lies you done told. He don't love that. He hates the sin, and what God wants to do, he wants to take that sin out of you and sanctify you, and cleanse you, and make you in his likeness and after his image. And the only way he could do that was through the blood of his darling son, Jesus Christ. He died once. He ain't going to die no more. Good God Almighty, ain't no more dying. Lord, heaven, next time Jesus Christ comes, he's coming to deliver the world and this generation from sin. But first, he has to save mankind. And he has given man an opportunity of 6,000 years. 6,000 years God has been dealing with mankind to convince him that he is the ultimate choice of men being born again, men being saved, men being redeemed by his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. The Bible said, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, without the redemption and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, no man can ever, ever come in the presence of God but through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you die without Jesus Christ in your life, if you haven't repented from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, through him you can receive salvation. If you die and leave this world without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will lift up your eyes in hell. H-E-L-L. And there is a heaven and there is a hell. And both of these places, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for mankind. But heaven was prepared for mankind so that he could live with God forever, that God will ever be in his presence forever. Out through eternity, you will never die again. If you die with Christ in your life, you will live again in the presence of God forever. If you die without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from, how white you are, how black you are, how yellow you are, how poor you are, how rich you are. Don't care nothing about that. Only thing I'm caring about is your soul. Your soul. Your soul is the most precious thing that you have, and you will never get another one. The only way that you can escape the damnations of hell and the eternal punishment in a dark place where you will be gnashing the teeth, the only way that I know, the only way that I've seen down through the generations of my lifetime, the only thing I've been hearing, when I was a little boy, I used to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. I grew up with the blood of Jesus Christ. I went to church and heard the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard about him dying on the cross for almost 75 years, I would say. You know, when I was a baby, I couldn't comprehend until I got old enough. That's what my mama taught me in Sunday school. Jesus dying on the cross, going down into the grave. On the third day, he kind of went on power in heaven and earth. Now he's able to save the souls of those that come to him and willfully come and give their life to him. And if you reject Christ, you're rejecting your salvation through him and him only. There's no religion on this planet that can redeem your soul. There's no religion, because all religions are damned. All religions, name religion, people who name religion are damned forever because they believe not on the Son of God. People who don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and reject the love of Jesus Christ, guess what? They're damned. Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not is damned. The Bible says, and all the wicked shall be cast into the lake of fire. A lot of people say, well, I ain't wicked. Yes, you are. You're wicked. Every man born is wicked. He's born outside of the ark of safety. Every man that coming in this world is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So if they're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, then they all are doomed for hell. And that's where the devil wants you to go, because the devil lost his battle before he became the devil. He was Lucifer, son of the morning, the bright star, a transcendent light, a gorgeous cherubim like ever God ever created. He never created one like that until he created Lucifer, and there won't be none after him. He has fallen from heaven because he wanted to take over the throne of God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to send into the heavens like God. He wanted to sit on the sides of the north of heaven and rule the universe, but it was not permitted to him. He didn't have the right, because God created him. God spoke him into existence. He came out of nothing. And when God spoke him into existence, he appeared. And God got, he had it all, God had it all in his infinite mind, eternal mind. He had it all pictured out exactly how Lucifer was to look when he created him out of nothing. Now, that's too far, and that's too high for my mind to even comprehend, so I know you can't comprehend it. Why? Because there was no beginning to God, and there's no end to God. He will always exist. He will never cease not to be. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is all things. He is a spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you're not worshiping him, because he is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, how do you worship him in spirit and truth? Well, the spirit of Christ has to be in your heart, in your heart. And you got to have a repentant heart. And when you have a repentant heart and you ask the Lord to help you, when you're a sinner and if you repent and ask Christ to come into your life, guess what? He'll come in if you repent. If you be sorry for the sins that you have committed, if you be sorry for the thoughts that you have had, if you be sorry for the things you said and thought and did, and ask Christ to come into your life, because a prayer of a repentant man that's sincere, God will hear his prayer. And he is worshiping him in spirit and truth, and he asked Christ to come into his life, I'll guarantee you 99 plus 999 plus 999 to 109, he will come into your life and save your soul from sin. Because no sin will ever enter the kingdom of God or come into the presence of God's kingdom ever again. No more pride would enter there, lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremonger. None of that will never come in the presence of God, no more. If you want to make it right with God, you're going to have to confess and look at yourself and say, look, I'm a low-down, rotten sinner. I am cannabis. I am a cheat. I am a beggar. I am a wino. I am a drug addict. And I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need a change, because that's what's about. Conversion is about. Conversion is about a change in your life. And the only one that can change your life is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I go against any preacher that's not preaching the cross of Christ. I go against it. Because the cross of Christ is the ultimate plan that God had before the foundations of the world. Because since he knows everything, he knew before he created Lucifer that he was going to fall, that he was going to rebel. But see, God had to let the pendulum swing, and he had to give Lucifer, the son of the morning, a created being, a right to be in heaven and to be his throne protecting angel, that he was the angel that protected God's throne, and he was the director of the angelic beings in heaven. In other words, he was a music man. He directed the music in heaven for the angels to praise it to God Almighty, the everlasting Father. Praise it, praise him, praise him, praise him, bow down to him. That was Lucifer's job. And he looked in the mirror of reflection and saw his beauty. And you can read this in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. You read that chapter, and you will find out how Lucifer was, how he beautiful was. He had gold and silver and brass and diamonds and topaz, and he had music inside of himself. And every time he would direct the choir, that music would come out, and they would praise God from whom all blessings flow. And he looked in the mirror of reflection, and during that time, guess what? He saw how beautiful he was. What you talking about? How gorgeous he was. Lord, gorgeous Lucifer. Oh, he was strutting around in heaven, and he began to build up pride in himself. And he thought that because he was so beautiful that he could overthrow the Almighty God, Elohim, El Shaddai. He thought he could overthrow the powers of heaven and rule and sit on God through. And God told him, you're a lie. You're a lie. You got to leave here. And God literally kicked him out forever. Forever, forever. He is never going to return in the place, presence of God Almighty. He will be cast into the lake of fire at the end of his journey. And his end of his journey is about ready to come to an end. The end of Satan is getting ready to come to an end. But he's got to do a few more things. He got to do a few more things before he is cast into the lake of fire. Ooh. And that is, he must play a role on this planet pretty soon, in which Satan himself will try to imitate everything that Jesus done on this earth in 33 years. He's got to try to do it in 7 years. And one of the greatest miracles that he's going to do, because he's already doing miracles now, demonic demons can do miracles. But this one miracle that he's going to do, amen, that's going to dazzle the world, it's going to have the world falling down at his feet. And that is, he's going to do a resurrection. He's going to do a resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's going to imitate the resurrection of Jesus Christ during the seven-year tribulation. The seven-year tribulation is about ready to occur on this planet. This seven-year tribulation is a period in which God will deal directly with the Jewish people. He's going to bring the Jews back into the land of Israel. When he brings them back into the land of Israel, the Jews are going to be planning to meet their Messiah, and this Messiah is called the Antichrist. Now, get this now. He will be called the Antichrist. And this Antichrist is a man on the earth today, alive, waiting for the moment in which he will come on the horizon and come out the closet. He's in the closet now, but he can't fool the Word of God. He cannot fool the Word of God. The Word of God shows me in my scriptures, my Bible, shows me exactly where he's coming from, how long he's going to reign on this earth, the miracles that he's going to do. When he come on the scene, he's going to come on a peace platform. He's coming from Western Europe. He's coming from Spain. He's alive today. His name is Felipe, King Felipe, and he's the king of Spain. The Jews today call him the king of Jerusalem, and he's waiting for a period in history in which he will come on the scene on a peace platform. And since the world is in such a condition that it is today, people are looking for a peacemaker. They're looking for somebody that got enough power to try to bring this world out of chaos. But this Antichrist is not going to bring the world out of chaos. It's going to bring it deeper into chaos, because he is going to try to deceive the whole world. And in the Bible, this is my Bible, King James Version, 66 books in the Bible, written by the Jewish people. And it took 1,500 years for it to compile to be put together. It's been here longer than any other book on the planet. It's the only book where man can see himself, because the Bible reveals exactly what man is. The Bible reveals what man is. Lord, it's sin. Satan and iniquity did my mother conceive me. I didn't have no power on whether or not I should be born in sin and Satan and iniquity, but he descended from the Garden of Eden through Lucifer, through Adam and Eve, and every time a baby is born, it's born in sin and Satan and iniquity. Until they get age enough and old enough to know the responsibility of right and wrong, and that's the age between 12 and 13 years old. But before that, he's in the type of an innocent state. And that innocent state, he's got to distinguish between good and evil. But all together wrong. Every human being on this planet was born in sin, including the Jews. So nobody can excuse it. There's only one man, and I go back over it again and over again. There's only one man that was born without sin. Only one man that was born without sin. And that man is Jesus Christ, God's Son, born of a virgin Mary, come down through the seed of Abraham. And God had to prepare a woman, a virgin woman. He had to prepare a virgin woman for the fullness of time came. God sent his own son wrapped in swaddling clothes. God himself, the Almighty, woo, the Almighty, God himself wrapped himself up in the human flesh, stayed in Mary's womb for 9 months, not born by flesh and blood, not born by a man, not born by a natural man, but born of God. God himself incarnated himself, took upon the body of man and stayed in a womb until the fullness of time came and Mary brought forth a son and the angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'll pause there for a minute. Think about that now. No angel, no cherubim could do what Jesus done. No patriotic, not Abraham, not Joel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, huh? They couldn't do nothing. Jonah, Joel, Hosea, Nahum. None of them could do anything. None of them. And so we're having a pause there. 400 years, there was no Holy Scripture written. And the last words in the book of Malachi, he said, I shall send back forth Elijah, and he shall turn their fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters into the God of Abraham. That was the last message. Elijah would come. But before Elijah came, after 4 B.C., around 30 A.D., there was a man that came through the wilderness that had the spirit of Elijah. And that spirit was called, that man was called John the Baptist. John the Baptist came on the scene. He come down through Judea, come on down by the Jordan River, and he said, repent. He didn't say go to church. He said, repent. He didn't say shout. He said, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. He identified himself. He said, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. Don't look for me. I'm not the one. There's one that comes after me, that preferred before me. John said, I'm going to baptize you with some water to represent the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a man comes to Christ, he is to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And that baptism represents the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when you accept Jesus Christ, automatically you should say, I want to be baptized to put a badge of identity on of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going down in the water to show you I'm going to die to self. But when I come up out of the water, I'm going to walk in the newness of life. And when Jesus went down in the grave, he went down as a natural man. But when he came back up, he was glorified body. No longer he had the natural flesh and blood because he had the glory of God. He had a new body. And that new body is a representation of you going down in the watery gate, coming back, walking in the newness of life. And when you get a new life, you change. Because a lot of people say they've been born again, they had no change in their life. They're doing the same old thing, saying the same old thing, going to the same old places, doing the same old way that they've been doing, and say they've been born again. But the Bible says, therefore, if a man therefore be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. Everything is new. All that old drinking and lying and cheating and fornicating and backbiting and whoremongering is all. And now you're walking in the newness of life. And you're walking in the love. You're walking in joy. You're walking in peace. You're walking in long suffering. You're walking and you're praying and you're seeking God more and more each day. You're a new creature now. Old things are passed away. So when John the Baptist came in there, he said, I'm not the one. And Jesus looked at John and said, hey, John, come here, John, baptize me. And John said, well, Lord, I don't need to baptize you. Jesus said, well said, but I must fulfill all righteousness. This is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to show the world. This is the right thing to show the devil. But water baptism, this ain't going to do it. You got to have a commitment. You got to repent. You got to know there's a washing on the inside, and that is cleaning up your soul and your spirit, that when you come up out of the water, you're walking in the newness of life from the inner being, from the inside. So now you're a born-again believer, and that born-again believer has received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes into you, guess what? You know you passed from death to life because you love the brother. I'm talking about loving the brother. I'm talking about loving the sister. I'm talking about loving your enemy. I'm talking about loving God. I'm talking about loving love of God, a divine relationship with Jesus Christ, because Christianity is not a religion. I say Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ, because it was His blood that was able to redeem you from the wretched of misery, sin. And sin ain't nothing but a garbage can. Sin is dirty. Sin is messed up. Sin makes you mean and cruel, and it messes with you. It'll mess you up. It's no good. But the world today loves sin. They love sin. People love the sin. It's pleasure. It's joy. They get a whole lot of fun. Fun. But after sin gets through with you, it will plant you in the grave. The wages of sin is death. If you die in your sin, you're going to be separated from God forever into the outer darkness. And I don't want to seem like I'm a dogmatic person, but I got to put expression in, because really I resent and I feel one thing in my life. I fear for the people who miss heaven. I fear who reject Jesus Christ. I'm afraid for your soul. I'm afraid for your soul because you don't want to go to hell. And we live in a nowadays where preachers ain't preaching nothing. Some of them ain't preaching nothing. Ain't getting a nickel on the dime. Prosperity is not the gospel. Prosperity is not, having a lot of money is not the gospel. The gospel is about salvation through Jesus Christ and Him only. We got too many preachers shucking and jiving. But I want to get into something a little more serious and let you know that it's going to take the blood of Christ to get you to heaven. Because you're not going to get there by your works. If you're a sinner and you're working in the church and you're just working, you're doing things that's legitimate, and you're working, you're doing, and you don't know Jesus Christ, all them works that you do ain't going to be no good. But you got to have Christ in you before those works that you do through Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to be accountable. Remember, the cross is one, and you got to bear your own cross. Without the cross, there's no hope. And the world has rejected the cross. In fact, we're living in a Christ-rejecting world. This world has rejected Jesus Christ. And when you reject Jesus Christ and you miss the glories of heaven, and you lift up your eyes in heaven, you're going to wish that you never was born. And I guarantee you, and I don't have to go to hell to prove to you that there is a hell. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than He did heaven. He warned the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The prophets warned Israel. The prophet, and Paul warned the church. Because church folks, now I ain't talking about redeemed folks. I'm talking about church folks that go to church good. But going to church ain't going to get you the glory. And a lot of folks in church don't know nothing about the cross. Not a thing. They say, oh, he drove some nails in his hand, and he cried and dropped his head, and they put him in the grave. Okay, that's all right. But they don't know. They don't know it was more than that. It was more than that. It was agony. That was something that no other man could do. But God, man, God in the flesh is the only one that could do that. And since he's the only one that can do that, then there's no other God that you can call on or no other religion. And there's all kinds of religion. In fact, there's 4,200 religions in the world. Occult and counting denominationism. Denominationism is nothing but a name of a church. But the name of that church don't mean that church is right. What's right is the word of God. If you're coming from another book other than the Bible, you're in the wrong church. If the preacher's not preaching the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and the wrath of God and tell them God is very patient. God is very patient. He'll go with you all the way. You could be swinging on the gates of hell. If you know you'd be swinging on the gates of hell and you repent of your sin, whether you're swinging left or right, Jesus Christ will save you. If you want to be saved, if you want Jesus Christ, you got to want this man. Woo! You got to want him more than a man on the desert with no water. You got to want Jesus Christ. And you got to hate sin. If you don't hate sin, you got a problem. If you like to fool around and smoke and drink and cuss and lie and cheat and steal and do all what you think you can get pleasure out of, and you never come to a knowledge to hate that, I mean, hate it with a passion and wanting to turn from it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he can save you from that and out of that and give you deliverance, and if you don't want it, guess what? God is not going to push you. He said, whosoever will, let him come. But I want to get this before my time is up. I want to get this before my time is up because it's my fault that I didn't get on time. I only got an hour tonight, but I want to read this from you from the book of Genesis real quick. We're going to talk about Adam and Eve in the garden. We're going to see what happened there in the garden for a few minutes. And then we're going to, I'm going to lay it down for you. It says here, in the third chapter of Genesis, it says, and the eyes of them both, this is Adam and Eve, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, Adam and Eve was innocent. They was in the garden. Satan came in and deceived Eve. And he got next to Adam, and Adam said, well, I know what's going to happen, so I'm going to eat some too. And when they ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, which God told them not to eat it, don't eat it. The day you eat it, you're going to die. You are going to be cut off from God. And when you cut off from God, God said, I give you a choice. You're on your own. And since you're on your own, it's your decision whether you want me or not. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they found out that they were naked. When they found out that they were naked, God came through the garden one day and told them, say, hey, Adam, where you at, boy? And Adam said, Lord, I'm naked. He said, who told you you were naked, man? He said, woman, you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And Adam and the man said, the woman whom thou gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And when Adam eat the tree of knowledge, and they knew they were naked. And then the first thing when they found out that God was walking through the midst of the garden, oh, Adam started running. He started boogieing. Oh, he was running, hiding behind trees. Lord said, where you at, Adam? He said, Lord, I'm naked. He said, who told you were naked? He said, the one that you gave me called me to eat, and I found out that I was naked. When I saw that I was naked, I was ashamed, and I started hiding. And that's what people are doing today. And so Adam and Eve decided, saying, how are we going to dress ourselves? How are we going to clothe ourselves? How are we going to hide our sins? Can we hide our sins? No. They said, well, we got to hide somewhere. So what they did, they took fig leaves, and wrapped it around them and sewed them together to hide their nakedness. But there was a problem there. That was man self-worthy of trying to cover his sin. And they took fig leaves. And fig leaves represent, in modern day terminology, religions. And that's, like I said, there's over 4,200 different kind of religions. And people got over that many religions, and these religions are trying to hide sin from God, which they cannot. Religion cannot wipe away your sins. Religion cannot cleanse you. Religion cannot transform you into a new creature. Religion cannot do nothing but have a form of godliness that ain't got no power. It takes the Holy Ghost to give you power to be an ambassador or be a child of God. Look how many religions we got. 4,000, let me name a few of them. Hey, we got a religion called atheism. We got a religion they call New Age movement. We got a religion called Buddha. We got Judaism. We got Shintoism. We got Mormonism. We got Unity. We got Satanism. We got Taoism. And we got some denominations in here. And I'm under the denomination of the Baptist, but there ain't no Baptist died for me. And I hear people say, well, I'm born a Baptist, I'm going to die a Baptist. Well, you wasn't born a Baptist, you were born a sinner. And I'm not coming down to a Baptist because I'm a Baptist myself, if you want to say so. But really, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a child of God. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved me, not the Baptist. I go to a Baptist church. My dad was a Baptist minister, and he preached for 60 years. And that's when he preached to me and told me it's Jesus Christ in him only. And then we got the KKK. We got Christian Scientists. We got Jehovah's Witness. We got Nazism. We got the Nazarene Church. We got the Islam Church. We got the Voodoo Church. We got the Witchcraft Church. We got the Lesbian Church. For those that believe in lesbianism, they got their own church. We got the Catholic Church. We got non-denomination. We got Church of God in Christ. We got the Church of God. We got humanism. We got fusion. We got Taoism. We got all these different names and brands of religions, if you want to say so myself. But like I told you, religion ain't going to work. Now, here's what happened to Adam and Eve. Them fig leaves dried up. And within a week's time or 4 days' time, they had to get more fig leaves. They got to get some more fig leaves. Then they were dried up. They dried up, they dried up, and they dried up, and they dried up. And until the hey, God say, wait a minute, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to fix this for you. I'm going to give you a type of shadow of what got to be done. Now, listen with this. The third chapter of the 21st verse in the book of Genesis. After Adam and Eve tried all these fig leaves and it wouldn't work because they would dry up and they still would be naked. Naked day after day, week after week, year after year, it would never cover sin. It would never fix it till you won't be ashamed, because every time they would look at themselves, they would be ashamed. Ashamed for what? Everything that God made was good. Now here the devil has intervened on mankind and made a naked person look bad. It's not bad. Is that they knew good from evil. Because everything that God made, the devil twisted it. Marriage is beautiful. Sex is beautiful. God instituted for marriage. Anything outside of that is a mess. And here what God does. God said, look here. I'm going to fix it temporarily. This is not permanent. I'm going to fix it temporarily. He said, unto Adam also, and to his wife. Did the Lord God make coats? Now listen, coats of skin, and clothe them. What you mean, preacher? God took an animal and slayed the animal and took the skin and clothed out of me. Now, if he slayed an animal, blood had to be shed. Good God Almighty. If he killed a sheep, and there are plenty of sheep, for God had made the earth. So there was plenty, and, you know, beautiful coats of skin. And he killed, I believe in the spirit of my mind, he killed two sheep. I don't know, maybe more than that. But he killed two sheep and skinned them and made out of these coats of skin. And he got the top side and the bottom side. In other words, Adam was full dressed. In other words, the woman was full dressed. He didn't have just the woman, and he didn't have just the man. And he put them coats of skin on them, and they lasted for years until they could get another animal and skin that. But in order to get that skin, he had to shed the blood of the animal in which he got it from, which normally probably was a sheep. And from that time, God was picturing long before the ultimate sacrifice. And all through the Jews was a known people that used animals for the shedding of blood. Every time they were offered sacrifice, an animal had to be shed, and they had to sprinkle it over the most holy place for the atonement for the sins of man. That was the only thing God could use, and God started with the first sacrifice in clothing Adam and Eve physically. But we got to be clothed spiritually. And the only way you can be clothed spiritually is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Leviticus real quick. Let me show you something else here. Leviticus 17th chapter. I want to get this base down because so many people think they're going to get to heaven off their good looks. And they pay the tithe and offer, they come to church on time, they go to Bible study and everything, but they really haven't been reborn again. They haven't been born again. This is what it says here. Here's Leviticus. Here's God telling in the book of Leviticus, writing to Moses, in the 17th chapter, the 11th verse, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul." This is Leviticus. This is Moses writing about the Levitical priesthood, where God tells Moses that the life and the soul is in the blood. Now listen, every time you get cut, every time you get a blood transfusion, why do men on the battlefield need blood? They need plasma. Why? Because the life is in the blood. If you give that soldier some blood and he's low in blood and you give him some blood, guess what? That can revive him. That can give him more blood. And so now God is telling you the animals that you sacrifice is going to make an atonement for your sin until a better sacrifice comes. And this better sacrifice is the ultimate plan that God had down through 3,000 years, all the way across the annals of time. God used animals and gave it to the Jews to show the Gentiles, that this here blood atonement must be appeared at all times during the time of sacrifices. If you don't believe in that power in the blood, when Moses was in the wilderness, and they were getting ready to leave, and the first last thing that came up on was the death of the firstborn. And Moses was instructed to take the blood of lambs and put it on the doorpost, on the top of the lintel, and on the both sides of the lintel. And the Lord told Moses, said, "Now, when I see the blood on the doorpost, when I see it on the upper post, when I cheat on the two disciples, and I'm going to send death in that night to kill all the firstborn. And whoever gets inside of the house that has the blood on it, I tell you, when I see the blood, I will pass over that soul. I will pass over that family. I will pass over that girl. Why? Because the blood has power enough to restrain your life. The blood has power enough to save your life. And Egypt, all the firstborn that didn't have blood on their doorposts, they died. They died. And they died. And the reason they died is because there was no blood on the doorpost. And if I want to roll on over until I get down to 4 BC, after the animal sacrifices was almost completed, and the Jews didn't acquire to stop giving sacrifices of animals, and they still do it today. And but the blood of goats and turtle doves and all these animals, clean animals, is no good no more, because it's not power enough to save man from sin. It's not power enough to save man. And so God, he was in heaven, he was studying in his room, and he said, well, the only way that I can redeem man through these 3,000 years, because animals, the blood of animals could not do it, he said, if you prepare me a body, I'll go down and redeem man. And when I redeem man, I'm going to use a woman to bring forth this young child that's going to be born. And when he's born, she's going to lay him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I'm going to let the world know I'm going to come down to redeem a dying world when men were wrapped up in sin. And the world was a miserable place to live in, and it's still miserable because sin is rampant through the land. Men are dying every day, every hour, every second, every hour, every week. And I just wonder sometimes, do you know the man that came to Calvary and took Calvary's Hill? When he was 33 years old, he said, my time has come. I've got to go to the hill of death in Mount Calvary. And there I'm going to let mankind do me in. I'm going to let them kill me. I'm going to let them slay me. I'm going to let them hang me on a tree. And I'm going to hang. I'm going to hang for 6 long hours. I'm going to drag a cross to Jerusalem and let them spit on me and kick me. I'm going to let them call me everything but the Son of God. And I'm going to let them maul me. I'm going to take 39 lashes on my back. I'm going to let them clap a crown of thorn on my head. I'm going to let them do what's in their heart. And they killed him. Yes, they did. But he said, now, look, you ain't taking my life. I'm laying it down for you. I'm going to lay it down. Good God Almighty, I'm going to give up my blood. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to let you crucify me. I'm going to let you beat me beyond my recognition. I'm going to let you call me everything but the Son of God. And I'm going to drag a old rugged cross on Calvary's Hill. And what I'm going to do, the cross wasn't that heavy. It was what he was bearing. And what he was bearing the sins of the world. Yes, he was. He died for my sins and your sins. He died for the lunatic. He died for the homosexual, for the gossiper. He died for the whores, and he died for the prostitutes. He died for the fags and the homosexuality and the lesbianism. He died for the Satan worshippers. He died. Good God Almighty, woo! He died until the moon turned red with high blood pressure. He died till the sun went out at midday. He died till hell shook and heaven had to move back a little back into it. eternity, and the angels had to prune the wings and say, well, we can't do nothing. I know one thing. The angel discussed and said, I know I couldn't have done it. The cherubim said, I couldn't have done it. And I called on Abraham. Abraham said, I couldn't have done it. None of the patriarchs couldn't have done it. It took one man. It took one man. God man. And he took God in the flesh to pay for sin. Full. He paid for your sins and my sins. Full. In other words, my past sin, my present sin, and my future sin. And he sanctified my soul. He set my soul apart from sin, that my soul will never sin anymore. Never sin anymore. Can't not, the Bible says in Little John, he cannot sin. My soul cannot sin. Why? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, then my soul is sinless. But Brother Paul comes along and said, I have another member to deal with. This carnality that I've been carrying around for 75 years. I'm still going through some pain. I'm still going through temptation. I'm still going through problems. I'm still going through things that this flesh is trying to bring back. But the power of the Holy Ghost can keep my flesh and my body under subjection that I can serve the true and living God. Apostle Paul said, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily sinners looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. My friends, this is the plan of salvation. You're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is free, free, free. I mean free. Only thing you got to do, you got to want it, because Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when he comes back, if your soul is not set free from sin and sanctified, you're going to miss the rapture. And then you will have to face the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to rule this planet for 7 years. And he's going to bring in the computer chips. He's going to bring in the guillotines. He's going to bring in trucks where he's going to put people into FEMA camps and put them in, lock them up if those that see this Antichrist will not worship him. There's a time coming when you won't be able to buy and sell unless you receive a mark in your forehead or on your right hand. The dark state is getting everything lined up. All the former presidents to leave. Come back again. God bless you. Oh, man. May God bless you. May his face smile upon you in these last evil days. Tune in Sunday evening, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And I owe you apology, those that are out there that listen to me, I owe you apology that I didn't come on in time this time, but it won't happen again. Because there's too much going on in this world for me not to express it to you through the word of God. And this is one thing that men and women have forgotten today. They forgot that what Jesus Christ done 2,000 years ago, he still has that power. And he's coming back out of the church. You must be born again. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We thank you, God. God, I want y'all to pray for me. Those that are out there, pray for me that I'll continue to preach this word. Unadulterated word. When I come on Sunday, I'm going to be ready, ready, ready to tell you about this wonderful grace that God has shared abroad in my heart, and he wants to share it abroad in your heart. May his face smile upon you. See you on the next broadcast. This is Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall.